are in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression, why Christians experience it and why they do not need to, and we're making some momentum now for closing this down, getting ready for Job. Let's begin tonight with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, those of you that listen to tapes and internet, this the hurting. I'm really sorry you do, and I tell you why I'm sorry, because you don't need to. This is just so powerful. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The land of Uz, Satan's world, Heavenly Father, is filled with all of the things that give stress and anxiety and depression by design. Whereas what you give by design is to give peace, joy, and love. Pray, Father, that as people listen to this series, that they'll move out of Satan's lie, living in Satan's darkness and religion, and experience what you have to offer. I pray, Father, you give me the words to communicate these truths. You give me the ability to make them pertinent. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's quickly see where we are in our study. First of all, we are in the midst of looking at Satan's lie and God's truth, kind of countering. We're right down to what God offers. Now, Satan's lie, I must be approved and accepted by certain others to feel good about myself and to feel that I am worthy, that I have self-worth. And added to that, and that my life is meaningful. One of the times that people just give up is when they decide their life is not meaningful in every area. They just quit caring, moral standards go, responsibilities go, because I don't matter. My life has no meaning anyway. The more that your life has meaning and purpose, your sense of morality, ethics, integrity, responsibility increases. So, Satan has presented this lie, and it is a lie. But it produces, as we're studying it, it produces the fear of rejection. I must be approved and accepted to have the self-worth. So it presents the fear of being rejected. And we saw God's truth in answer to this, reconciliation. In Christ, you are reconciled with God. So don't worry about what you already have and you cannot lose. Don't try to be performing for what is already yours and what you cannot lose. Another effect of Satan's lie was fear of failure. Obviously, if you're on a performance standard, is the fear of failure. God's answer to this, we saw, was justification. God already declares you righteous in Jesus Christ. If you just want to learn who you are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, and live who you are in Christ. In Christ, you are reconciled with God. You don't have to. You can't make it any better. You are already justified before God. The next burden of Satan's lie that we saw was those who fail are unworthy of love and deserve to be punished. But we'll also always add to that the ideal of blame, trying to blame others for the failure. Why? Because they can't accept responsibility themselves. It's too painful. What does God say? What's the truth that we saw? Satan's lie. Everyone who fails is unworthy to be loved and deserves to be punished. God's truth, the truth of propitiation. Propitiation, as we saw, is one of the strongest, greatest love words in the Bible, if it's correctly understood. Another enslavement of Satan's lie that we saw is, I am, or I guess this is where we're moving tonight. This is tonight. I am what I am, and I cannot change. Now, some people say that in arrogance, but I'm dealing with those who really hurt. I am what I am. I cannot change. Now, what is this? This is hopelessness. Hopelessness. And many of you that are listening to this series, there's a sense in the adverse stage of anxiety and stress and depression of hopelessness. Many people who live in the condition of stress, anxiety, and depression live under this condition in their life, from morning till night, hopelessness, and even wake up in the middle of the night with it. Hopelessness about your situation. Hopelessness about your own person. It just can't change, not going to change, nothing's going to change. Marriage is not going to change. Job is not going to change. Finances are not going to change. Health is not going to change. My status is not going to change. In fact, it's getting worse as I get older. Most of all, they're not going to change because they can't. They're not going to change because they cannot. First you believe Satan's lie. Then you look at your performance, how you fail over and over and over and never measure up. And generally there's always some Christian, some family member, someone around you to remind you how you fail. Then you go into despair. And in despair, I cannot change. I've had it. Hopeless. Well, there is hope. Many Christian friends and counselors telling you this is true. Preachers, they call people losers. Deacons call people losers. Job's three counselors, loser, call Job that. There's nothing more, pardon the expression, sad. I'm not talking about SAD, stress, anxiety. There's just nothing more sad than hopelessness. It's a sad place to be. When a believer gets into this level of hopelessness and shame, especially people when you don't have to. When a believer reaches this level of life, nothing to live for, we've not really touched upon suicide in the study, and I'm still deciding whether to go into that dangerous area. It's a dangerous area, and I think people should be qualified that go into it. Maybe we can hit some highlights that are very important and yet not going to get anyone heavy. I just think suicide is a very, very, very tenacious place to be in life. Many Christians reach this point, and they reached it because they're living under Satan's lie. And it's all hopelessness. And when you reach that hopelessness, then death is preferred. If this is the way the rest of my life is going to be, as far as my own condition, my own person, my friends, my marriage, my life, finance, death is preferred. This is not living. This is not living. And so, death is preferred. If you reach this point, I want you to please, not with your friends who convince you of those things, but if you have a friend who sees the truth, that'd be great. But if you don't, just get by yourself and consider God's truth. Consider what God has done. Consider who you are in Christ. Let it sink in who you are in Christ. What's the answer? What's God? We have Satan's lie. What's God's truth to this hopeless condition that you cannot change? God's truth is your new birth. Your new birth. Who you really are in Christ. You are not that person that has failed. You are a new spiritual creation in Christ. I know you don't look it. And I know you don't feel it. And I know you probably don't even act it. I know that. It doesn't mean it's not true. And what I would hope that we can do together through this series is to get you to examine who and what you are in Christ. We long time ago in this study, we did a very important aspect. People, God doesn't have to change circumstances for you to see your worthiness in Christ. The example that I like to use is, God doesn't have to change the way everybody drives on the freeway so that you can go from point A to point B without getting mad. The way people cut in and don't and all the things people do in driving that irritate you. God does not have to change the world so that you'll be happy. What God is going to do, He's going to work with you. He has worked with you. Why don't you just sit back as you look at your hopeless condition, your marriage, your health, maybe no marriage. Maybe you're at that point in life and boy, it's passed you by. So there's that angle. There are those that are married who are miserable and feel hopeless, and there are those who are not married who are miserable and feel hopeless. Maybe we ought to get them all together in a room and let them talk with each other. But I know that's a hopelessness. There are people who really want marriage, and they want to be loved, and they want to love, and they want a companion and a friend. And you don't have it, and you're reaching later in life, and it just isn't working out. Because I always use marriage, but there's also the non-marriage. Then the health and the finances. You're not the mark in the world. I'm not making a mark in the world, and I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Okay, what I'd like you to do is realize when you do that kind of thinking, you're thinking in the realm of Satan's lie. Performance. I've got to perform. I should be somewhere, should be making something, done this, done that. Who told you all of that? Not the Bible. Not God. Man, Satan's lie. Please just steal away and realize who you are in Christ. Realize who you are in Christ. Live who you are in Christ. I don't care what the circumstances are. People, there are unbelievers who, as far as circumstances of life are concerned, they should be as miserable as hell. Pardon my expression. But they're not. They're people who, in human viewpoint, I'm not gonna let this get me down. And they are, in the sense of using the word, they're happy. And they're not going to let circumstances just tear them down. And they work all day for a meager amount of money and live in a very meager home, dwelling, but they're not going to let it. Those are unbelievers do that. Why can't we as Christians? Because we have every reason to do it. You're somebody in Christ. If you're hurting this way tonight, please get your Bible. Open up with me to 1 Corinthians 12. It's worth it. It's worth it. If you feel hopeless, you're sitting there with a gun beside you. You're sitting there with the pills. You're contemplating. You're thinking about it. How death would be more precious, more valuable, be a welcome guest. Okay. What I'd like you to do is put next to those, just to make my point, put next to those pills, next to the gun, as it were, put the Bible. Put the Bible next to it. And then what I'd like you to do is to sit there before you open it up. Look at the gun. Look at the Bible. They both have solutions. The gun has a solution. End everything. The Bible has a solution. Start enjoying life. Start living who you are in Christ. That's what I'd like you to do. So turn, open that Bible up now that you got it in front of you, to 1 Corinthians. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look at verse 13. For by one Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. That means you are put into and identified with one body, whether you're Jew or Greek, slave or free. And we could make a long list. Male or female. Rich or poor. Just any list that you want. Successful, non-successful. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. The Holy Spirit, what is being talked about here, this baptism, the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you into Jesus Christ. You are eternally united with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from that. I don't care what it is. Nothing can separate you from that. You are in Jesus Christ. I know there are a lot of preachers out there preaching you can lose your salvation. Maybe you never really were saved. And they got all this reasoning. I'm here to tell you by the authority of this book. The moment you believed in Jesus Christ, you were born into Christ, and you cannot be unborn. Let's look at another one in the same area, 2 Corinthians. Let's keep going a little bit further, and you come to 2 Corinthians. chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one of my fun chapters in the Bible. I really appreciate this chapter. Chapter 3 is one of the great chapters on spirituality. And chapter 5 is a great chapter about living the spiritual life. Chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man, that's you, anyone, God doesn't care who you are, who you were, what you did, what happened to you as your little girl, little boy. Please understand, God doesn't care in the sense of it doesn't stop him. He's not going to hold anything like that. Therefore, if anyone, we'll put it that way, if anyone is in Christ. Now, how are you in Christ? That's why I read the 1 Corinthians 12 first. You're baptized. The moment you believe in Christ as Savior, you are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation, a new being. You're not that old person. Stop being shackled to that old person. That's not who you are. But I am that way now. I know what you're thinking. I was no good when I was a teenager. I was no good, and I'm no good now. You're just not living who you are in Jesus Christ. That's the problem. You're not living who you are in Christ. Moses. You know him? You heard of him, Moses? Now, this is going to work a little reverse, so in one way it's not a good example, but it'll make the point. Moses was living for a long time in his life like he was an Egyptian. He lived in royalty. He lived in a palace. He thought he was an Egyptian. And then Moses found out that he wasn't. Moses found out that really what you are is a Hebrew. A Hebrew. Those slaves out there? So Moses had to make a decision. Am I going to be who I am in Christ and who I am at birth? Or am I going to be who I am this way I've been living, which is a lie? And I'm here to tell you people, if you're hurting tonight, it's a lie what you're saying about yourself. Take on who you are in Christ. Because you're a new creation. And look what it says. The old things passed away. Let them go. Let them go. Behold, new things have come. Now, what are the new things that have come? The new things that have come are who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. If I were to come into you and say to you, let me tell you who you really are. You didn't know this. But at birth, it got switched. And you really belong and are related to royalty. You really are related, not just to a wealthy family, but a family of royalty, a family of dignity. Boy, that'd make us feel great. Man, I'm getting out of here. Just think, I'm part of royalty, and I've got a family crest, and I've got this and that and all that. Changed your whole attitude about yourself. People, you are royalty in Christ. Believe that and start living that. One more passage. I won't burden you a lot, but I want to make this clear. Let's go to Romans. After we finish the stress, anxiety, and depression series, we're going to do Job, which is very important to stress, anxiety, and depression. After we finish Job, I've already decided that I'm going to, after that, if the rapture hadn't occurred and if I'm still alive, I'm going to do Romans. Because Romans is all about Job, as is the whole Bible, but Romans answers the questions brought up in Job. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 38. Please think about what you're reading. I am convinced. Okay, there's the first thing. How are you going to be convinced? There's the first clue. You're going to be convinced when you start believing what the Bible says. You start believing God's truth instead of Satan's lie. That's when you start being convinced. For I am convinced that neither death... And people, I'm going to talk to you because I know some of you are hurting. any death. Suicide isn't going to mean you lose your salvation. But that's not an encouragement to do it. But I just want you to understand, there is no form of death. There is no form of life. And look what it says, nor life. Maybe your circumstances never will change. Does that mean you can't be happy? Does that mean that God cannot cause you to experience inner peace, joy? People, your circumstances do not determine this hopelessness that you're experiencing. It's in your soul. Because in Christ, you are set free. I am convinced that neither death nor life, anything that happens in your life, any way of living, do you really believe the Bible? Well, look what it says. Life. Any kind of living. Nor angels, supernatural beings, principalities, the power of darkness, nor things present, your circumstances and things that happened to you in the past, nor things that are to come, may get worse, may get better, whatever, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, the world and all of its system, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. If you're listening to just this series, I might want to suggest that you ask for the Gospel of John chapter 11, starting of Gospel of John chapter 11, because the whole chapter 11, or the chapter 11 is about love. It's about the conflict, the challenging of love, which a lot of times we have when we're under stress, anxiety, and depression. But nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not what happened to you in the past, not your circumstances now, not what you've done. It cannot separate you. Don't let anybody tell you it can. Which is this love? Now, where is this love? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. This includes all your failures, all your past, includes all those things. You are loved and you are worthy to be loved. You are loved and you are worthy to be loved. Do you hear that? Say that. I am loved and I am worthy to be loved. Say it to yourself. Why? Because you're in Jesus Christ. Get this mindset of who you are in Christ. Be set free. I'm going to give you seven things of being set free of stress, anxiety, and depression. Simply stated, not prolonged. One, get out of Satan's lie. Get out of Satan's lie. It's not easy because it's everywhere. It's even in the churches, most churches. But get out of living in the performance trap and the opinion of others. Stop doing that. Two, know who you are in Christ and believe it. That's hard too because most preachers won't teach it. But find somewhere where you can learn who you are in Christ and believe what the Bible says about you in Christ. Three, live in the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Trust the Holy Spirit by faith. Just as you trusted in Christ, trust in the Holy Spirit so that He will do His work in you, so that you will live who you are in Jesus Christ. Start, trust the Spirit. He's the third member of the Godhead. He's God. Do you have any trouble believing in God? Some people make a big, oh, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit. You trust God and Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's God. Do you have trouble believing in God? I don't. Trust the Holy Spirit. Now that you've done that, you're in the Spirit. Point four. Recognize and acknowledge your past in the Holy Spirit. I like that rather than confession, because confess means that has the idea I've done something wrong. Just acknowledge. I was raped when I was a little girl. I was sexually abused. I was physically abused. I was a little boy. I was verbally abused. was neglected. Acknowledge. Just acknowledge them to God. Acknowledge them in the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid of your past in the Holy Spirit. God's already taken care of it. Quit trying to hide it. Quit trying to conceal it so that you live in this shame and this hidden guilt. Just get it out there between you and God. I don't think you should tell too many other Christians, if any. Don't call up the newspaper. Just you and God. In the power of the Holy Spirit. You're already in the Spirit. Now you get into a recognition, acknowledgement. You deal with your past and you lay it out there. You stop denying it. And you lay it all out there, and I'm mad at this person, and I'll come to that later, but just this happened to me, this didn't happen to me, and I was abused, I was raped, I was molested, and now I'm going into homosexuality, and now I'm going into prostitution, and now I'm going into just being a recluse, and now I have all this fear, and I just can't associate with people. Get it all out there between you and God. Not a Roman Catholic priest. Not some other Christian, just you and God. Lay it out there. Don't hide it. Quit doing that. Next. Now, you're still in the power of the Spirit. So, fifth. Acknowledge their strongholds. Remember that study? Acknowledge the strongholds, the seven-headed dragon. And that'll allow the Holy Spirit to start, tearing them down. Go back and study that passage in Corinthians if you need to. Acknowledge the strongholds. Acknowledge the seven-headed dragon. Doggone it, quit trying to hide so the Holy Spirit can't do anything about it. Just get in there and let Him start tearing them down. And sixth, forgive. In the power of the Holy Spirit, forgive. You can't do that out of the Holy Spirit. Not really. You mean I'm supposed to forgive the person that raped me when I was a little girl, when I was a little boy, homosexually? I'm supposed to forgive my parents who abused me? Yes, and you can. You can if you're in the Holy Spirit. He'll set you free. He'll set you free. And then number seven. Serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. You start serving others now. Instead of walking around with this resentment, hate, and bitterness, and guilt, and shame, and performance, you serve others by getting them out of that. One of the most horrible things that happens to a person at this point is false guilt. False guilt related to shame. I want to talk about that a moment, a little bit. Let's first of all talk about why this even comes up. Why do we go into this guilt and shame? This is so important. Stay with me now. There's a great sense of need in man to make sense of what is happening. Man needs to make sense of what is happening or what has happened. Whether you realize it or not, Homo sapiens, mankind, man and woman, we have this need. I was raped and abused as a little girl. It must have been my fault. That makes sense. It doesn't make sense that it happened, but at least I can understand it. So we come to this guilt because I've got to understand. I've got to understand why what happened or is happening. And guilt is a great place of understanding. Oh, okay, I can deal with that then. This happened to me, and it's my fault. This is happening to me, and it's my fault. And I have to bear the false guilt of this. We must understand. Nothing makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense, then it must be me. It must be my fault. I'm the one shameful. Now, that makes sense. That hurts. But it makes sense. Okay. It makes sense under Satan's lie, under law. Please appreciate this. Yes, that does make sense under a system of law. That does make sense under a system of Satan's lie in the kingdom of darkness. It must be my fault. Now, you have arrived at this point where you can understand why faith is so important. Sometimes in faith, often in faith, you don't understand. This is why faith is so important. I don't understand. It's not my fault. But if it's not my fault, whose fault is it? I got to find blame. I got to find fault. I got to have an understanding. Sometimes, and I have learned often, and people, as you listen to the series, this is not a brag of money. I'm making a point here. I'm a Bible church teacher. I study from the Greek and Hebrew. I do that because I want to understand the Bible. And I want to tell you where my journey has brought me. The more I understand the Bible by intense study of Greek and Hebrew, let me tell you a beautiful truth I've come to. And that's this: God is saying, I don't want your understanding. I want you to trust me. When we get to Job, that's going to be one of the driving lessons of Job. Job, you're not going to understand. God never answers Job's question. I'll show you that. What I'm looking for you from you, Job, is not understanding. I'm looking for you, from you, faith. Will you trust me? And I'm asking you tonight, can you do that? Can you just trust him? Will you do that? Will you just trust him? Will you say, Father, I don't understand why this happened to me as a little child. I don't understand why this is happening to me now. I don't understand why my marriage is the way it is. I don't understand why my husband left, my wife left, or two or three husbands left, two or three wives left. I don't understand why my parents are doing this or that. I don't understand. And we pray, God, please help me understand. Please help me understand. He's given you something more powerful than that. He said, you trust me. And I'll work it all together. I'll bring all of this to something beautiful. That takes faith. How much faith does that take? Oh, lots of... No, you're wrong. It takes a grain of mustard seed, the same amount that changed you for all eternity. You just trust him this moment, and then the next moment with that grain of mustard seed, the next moment, the next moment, the next moment, and you put those little grains of mustard seeds moment by moment together, and pretty soon you've got a straight line, unbroken, where you trusted him. Now, let's talk. You mean to tell me, this is what some of you may be thinking, you mean to tell me what I'm supposed to do about my past is not understand why those things happen. What I'm supposed to do is just trust God? Yeah. Wow. But see, isn't that what you did at the cross for salvation? And you just trust him? I don't know your salvation conversion story. We all have one. They're always beautiful. I love to listen to people tell about how they were saved. I love it. I enjoy it. Even some over and over. I was saved when I was a little child. I didn't understand a whole lot. I was a little boy. Just going into seven, I think. Just a little kid. 7 years old. And my mother said, if you believe in Christ, you won't have to die and go to hell. Now, I figure I must have been a bad little boy because I was scared of hell at six or 6.5 years old. So I didn't have, my life flashed before my eyes, and I knew I was a goner. And my mother said, it's all you got to do. Just believe in Christ. And I did it. I didn't know any more than that. And I'm saying to you, you learned that at the cross. I just trust him. I don't understand a lot. I trust him. How does that work? I don't know. I didn't know it's seven. I knew if I believed in Christ after that night that happened at home. My mother wasn't a spiritual lady and didn't know how all that was going to take, and so she escorted me over to the preacher, thinking he could interrogate and find out. And I'm happy because he came and told her. He said, "No, he's got it. He's got it." And what have I got? A lot of theology? No. I just knew all I had to do was trust Him. That grain of mustard seed. That's what I'm saying to you tonight. If you're hurt, don't try to make sense and develop guilt. If you don't develop guilt, you'll develop hate. If you don't develop hate, it'll be anger toward your family. It'll be hate and anger not only toward those who did something maybe to you, but to those who let it happen. And pretty soon you're angry at so many, and it's all building inside of you. You're hurt, you're angry, you're guilt, you're shame. And not just when you're a child, but even later in life. Stop it. Don't try to make sense out of it. I know you want to. That's what humanity wants to do, and that's why Satan gave. Listen to me. Because Satan knows you want to make sense of it, he gave us his lie and uses the law to do it. God knows that, and he said, "You trust me, my child. I'll work everything right. I'll work it all out. You trust me. I'm God." Will you do that? Will you just simply say, "Okay, I don't understand this. It was wrong. Yes, it was wrong. It was really wrong. It was cruel. Yes, it was." Why would anybody do that to a little boy or a little girl? Why would a man treat his wife the way my husband does? Why would a woman treat a husband the way? Why do people do this? It's so wrong. Yes, it is. And we could do a lot of talking about Satan's world and all that. Forget all of that. "I don't understand, God. You take me by the hand and you walk me from here. I trust you. I trust you with the past, present, and future. I'm going to live by faith. And I'm going to get into the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. The more you study this book," I tell my congregation here that we're going to go to different books. We'll do this. But the message isn't going to change. If you're looking for a breakthrough for the next level, I'm sorry. You've got the level the moment you accepted Christ as Savior, and it doesn't get better. It doesn't get worse. It just stays right there. Trust me, I'm God. You just keep walking by that same faith. And everything we're going to see in the Bible is about, now we'll add things to it about His love and how God is doing this and God's essence and many wonderful things, but it's still going to come back. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust the one I sent? I send my Son. I send my Spirit. Will you trust them? People, I know you're hurt. And I know you feel guilt because that helps you explain it. That helps you explain it. Even though it hurts, it helps you explain it. Blaming yourself for all that has happened and is happening from your childhood. All this is false guilt. And what I want to say to you is, let's take all of that and just say for a moment, you know what? I am in Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. I do believe the things that God says I am in Christ. And I'm going to trust God with the past. And I'm going to trust God with the future. I'm going to trust God with the present. I'm going to start walking by faith. And grab hold of life. Grab hold of it. Grab hold of life. Enjoy life. People, I'm not one of these speakers that go around and telling people and giving these great speeches and getting hold of life and all that. But in a sense, I am, because I'm giving you the truth to hold on to. Just grab hold of life. Whatever's going on, because of who you are in Christ. But we're going to stop now because I've got somewhere I want to go next. It's into some points. And if I get started, we'll just get started and then we'll have to stop. And then next time I'll go back over them again. So let's do that. Next Wednesday evening, the next tape you get, we'll start right from this point. and move into our study for this point. But please, if you listen to tapes, it's easy for you. Those of you here in class, you got a whole week to kind of forget what we've done and all of that. But we'll just start right here next week. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, what kind of God are you, Heavenly Father? You're just awesome. Satan says you've got to understand. Satan says you've got to have a reason. Satan says figure it all out from the law. Figure it all out from my life and performance trap and opinion of others and all of this. And you come along and say, no, you just trust me. I'm God. I save, I deliver, I bless. I give you happiness, peace, joy, love. God, are you? That's just so awesome. And we don't even have to perform for it. We just trust you. Wow. And I pray, Father, tonight that some people who's hurting, they're hurting so bad, it's difficult even to trust. But your Spirit will help them make this breakthrough in their soul and their thinking. Open the Bible and realize who they are in Christ and start believing it. Walk in by faith. Guide me, Heavenly Father, as we continue the study. Things you'd have me to say. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.